Good morning to all of you. May God bless you for being here. You know, let me start off by saying, whenever I come up before you, I would like to have everything as best in place as can be, and that's why I share with Pastor Dan. I like to wear a robe because then you don't have to look at anything else, whether or not my earrings match, whether I have on mixed match shoes, whether my clothes fit. And I was sharing with Pastor Dan's mom, Miss Lynn. She said, "Oh, I love your hair up." I'm like, "Oh my God." I said, I stepped outside between 8:30 service and this service, speaking to someone, and my hair is coiffed as it was this morning. When I walked back in, it was like this. So I ran to the ladies' room and stuck a pin in it. So I was glad she said, "Oh, your hair looks nice." So if you don't look at anything else, just look at my hair. And hear the word of the Lord. I'm in Romans, the 8th chapter. And I'll read for you verses 26 and 27. This is the New Revised Standard Version. Hear the word of the Lord. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we do begin a series on prayer, the beautiful work of learning to pray. In the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 1, we find Jesus praying. And it reads, "He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.' And he taught the prayer that we all know, that we just recited a few minutes ago. And it's one that we pretty much say by rote. And I had someone tell me not long ago, I don't even know if it was a child, it's probably something you've already heard as well. He said, 'I know God's name.' I'm like, 'Well, what is God's name?' It's Harold. Our Father who art in heaven, Harold is thy name." But for those of you who are Bible scholars, let me interject that in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew, the 5th chapter through the 7th chapter, we find not only the Beatitudes, but again a teaching about prayer, which includes the Lord's Prayer, which is chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and a variation of what we know. And the disciples in that text did not ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus just taught them everything he felt that they needed to know all at one time. It was kind of like a beginner class in spirituality. It was comprehensive. If they were in college, it would have been like classes 101, 102, 103, and 104. And if any of them had to take a comprehensive test after that, I'm sure most of them would have failed. Jesus gave a lot of information in those chapters. In your spare time, try to read that. It's a Sermon on the Mount. Matthew, 5th chapter, all the way through the 7th chapter. And even though Matthew and Luke are two of the synoptic gospels, The account and the prayer are somewhat different. Now, don't shoot this student, and don't misconstrue what I'm about to share. And I want you to hold on to your chairs. Don't get angry at me, but hear this. There are some biblical scholars who say Jesus didn't create or teach the Lord's Prayer. Y'all took it better than I thought. But I remember my Hebrew Bible professor teaching us that if there's more than one version of a biblical text, accept the shorter one as being the one that's more accurate. As far as the Lord's Prayer, if the prayer acts as a bridge that connects us to God, no matter who wrote it, short or long, we can adopt it as our own to transport us to what is good and holy and divine. As an illustration, here is the Lord's Prayer from the New Jerusalem Bible. I've inserted Abba instead of Father because Abba is the term used by Jesus. It's a title of endearment and intimacy, as well as one that demonstrates his close relationship to God and his obedience to God. Jesus always used Abba when he prayed, reflecting his close relationship to God. I want us to pray this prayer together. Read it with me, please. Let us pray. Abba, may your name be held holy, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive each one who is in debt to us. And do not put us to the test. Oh my God, do you hear this? Does it speak to you in a different way? I love even the beginning as it says, Abba, your name be held holy. Oh my God, what a way to start prayer. Abba, may your name be held holy. This translation is a little different, and I present it to you because it's different, yet the same. And I love the part where it says, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive each one who is in debt to us. It's almost like a command, like it's already done. We do this. We forgive each one who is in debt to us. It draws us. I find these words draw us in a very profound way as we begin to pray, Abba God, with a tone of intimacy, endearment, and obedience. Lord, teach us to pray. This request to teach us may be repeated because we see it in Romans. In the text that I just read, chapter 8, verse 26, Paul expressing likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. We weren't born with words to pray or praise God immediately. Somewhere, sometime in life, we were taught or not taught to pray. And some of us were taught for what to pray or for what not to pray. And I wanted to share before even I move on, for Jason, the best way to learn how to pray is to be put on the spot. Audrey, stand and say a prayer for us. See, put on the spot. Who else do I see out there? It's just like the, Jason said, you start hiding us. I still see you. But that's how we learn how to pray, by praying. Someone told me this past week that they felt guilty praying for themselves. So I wanted to ask you, how many of you feel guilty praying for yourself? I saw one shy hand go up this morning. Okay, I love it. Nobody, wait, is there one over there? Okay, a couple. Oh, another one. Okay, so four. So we have about four people who feel guilty about praying for themselves. I love that. But let me share with you, Jesus prayed for himself. If Jesus prayed for himself, he gives us permission to pray for ourselves. He said, Abba, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus again used Abba, demonstrating that intimacy, that relationship he had with God. Some of us may think that sin, or our sin, is too great for us even to approach God, to kneel before God, to stand before God, to sit in God's presence. But that reminds me of the one who committed adultery, then conspired and had the spouse murdered. This one lied and cheated. And yet this one was not hesitant or afraid to stand before God in prayer. I'm not going to ask if there's anyone out there who has experienced sin in this way. But I have heard people express to me the sins that they have committed, and some of them are these. But this person was not hesitant or afraid to stand before God with this prayer. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Anybody recognize this? I hear some mumbling. It's Psalm 51, and it was written by David, King David. He could not have sinned more. He could not have sinned more. But this is David's prayer after he had been convicted by the prophet Nathan, after his indiscretion with Bathsheba. I'm wondering if any of you recognized anything in this passage as well. It's our communion ritual. Part of them are the words of confession. So we try to hit all the bases. God, if I have sinned in any of these ways, Just as you gave steadfast love and forgiveness to David, we're asking for that same steadfast love and forgiveness for ourselves. And here, David, when he says, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me," indicating that the Holy is already in him. And it tells us, too, that the Holy Spirit is already in us, sinful as we may be. Sinful as we may be, God's Holy Spirit is already in us. You know, before I proceed, I'd like to share with you the New Testament scholar C.H. Dodd's definition of prayer. And I quote, "Prayer is the divine in us, appealing to the divine above us." This is certainly what David was doing, appealing to the divine above us, asking for forgiveness. I personally see prayer as just a little bit more than that. I would define prayer also as the divine in us, connecting to the divine above us. Abba. I say this because I used to ask a lot of serious questions about prayer. Is praying futile? Is what's going to happen whether I pray or not? Is praying the act of us changing God's mind? Are we, or let me change that to, am I gullible enough to believe or think I have some power or ability to change God's mind? Do I pray like the Bible says, without ceasing and with perseverance? Or do I pray like the Bible says, with brevity, not heaping up empty phrases like pagans who just want to be heard? As I contemplated each question, I realized my thoughts ushered me into the presence of God, the divine in us connecting with the divine above us. Even as David prayed for forgiveness, he reached that point of connection, praying, "Oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise." As a child, I wasn't necessarily sinful, but I was a child. I talked back a lot. I got a lot of backhands to the mouth, shoes thrown at my mouth. I hear some kiddies who were like that as well. I have to even tell you an incident where I don't even remember what I did, but it was probably talking back. And my mother gave us dessert every night as a treat. That's why all of us have a problem with weight. But she used this as punishment. "All right, I heard what you said. That's your dessert for tonight." I said, "Tonight, make it two nights." She said, "Okay, two nights." I said, "Two nights, go for three." Do you see this? She said, my mother was so calm and patient about it. She says, "Okay, three nights." I said, "Go for a week." She said, "Okay, a week." And then she pulled out the Oreos in the cabin, and I'm like, That's probably as sinful as I was. But I felt I was always connecting or living in the presence of God because I was always physically needy. There was always a physical ailment to my body that kept me on my knees. I always had pain, and I always felt that I just didn't measure up to everybody else. I was always on my knees in prayer. Dodd's definition of prayer was spot on for me as a child, the divine in me appealing to the divine above. Prayers for healing, prayers for less pain, prayers for wholeness, prayers just to be like everybody else. Thank God my mom and dad taught me how to pray, not only just for self, but for others. I didn't know what prayer could do until I realized what prayer had done. It kept me close to Abba. And as an adult, I know praying is not futile. In many words, in few words, in no words, in a sigh. Prayer transports us to the heavenly realm. Prayer ushers us into the presence of God. Prayer relieves us of all earthly burdens and gives us peace. The divine in us connecting with the divine above us, becoming one with God. As Jesus prayed in that Luke text, it continues and it says, "Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength." There is power in prayer. There is healing in prayer. There is divine presence in prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. I have posed so many questions here, and I'm going to let Pastor Dan answer them all in the weeks to come. So think of your own. Write them down. But as we begin this series of sermons on prayer, I invite you to join with the Holy Spirit and pray with a sigh. This week, I want us to practice praying with a sigh. Our sighs mingling with the sighs and groans of the Spirit as it rises to God like incense. And we're going to practice right now today. God bless you. I want all of us to take in a deep breath. Don't do it yet because I don't want you to run out of breath. But I want us all to take in a deep breath. And as you release it, I want you to give God your cares, all of your worries. Let's begin. Take a deep breath. And we're going to let it out in a sigh. We give our cares to you, O God. We give you our worries. We offer up prayers of thanksgiving. We give you praise. We give you our joys. We give you our supplications. We give it all to you, Abba God. Amen. And then Paul says, "And the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Let us sigh, let us pray. Amen.